Gen X ladies, have you ever stopped, took a breather, and thought, hey, is this it? I mean, is this all? Then life hits you with menopause and midlife crisis. Well, that's what happened to me. But ladies, it's not game over. Oh no, we've got to get up and claim our space and fight back. My name's Simona, and come join me as I document my life journey, discover midlife solutions one step at a time. I will present various ways to improve our lives and increase our self-care. I will interview inspiring people, share with you the best kept secrets to a successful and meaningful life. So let's get rocking! Couch to Fire will inspire you to get unstuck and venture out of your comfort zone and ignite your fire within. Couch to Fire. Get your life back. Hi, this is Simona from Couch to Fire, and I have a wonderful guest with me today. His name is Wayne Winterton. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Simona. It's nice to meet you also.
Yes, and we were connected by Wayne's son, William, and he was promoting his dad's podcast, and he talked about his podcast, and William has been writing his for a couple of years now, and he's created and published three books. Is that right, Wayne?
That's right. Those are Wayne and not William's books, but these I have six books out, actually. The first one is a mystery romance that I wrote back in 2005, I believe. I'd always known I'd like to write, and I had been interested in writing. I used to do a little of it when I was going to college as well. In fact, I remember one time taking a physics test. I'm not really cut out for physics. And I did as best I could on the test. And at the bottom, I wrote a little poem for my instructor, my professor, that told him that this wasn't for me. And he called me into his office, and we talked about it. And that was the last that I had anything to do with physics. But and I also used to write poetry about my friends, my boyfriends, and the dates. And I graduated from college and went to work on the Indian Reservation, Navajo Reservation in New Mexico. And the very first, second place I was located, I taught school for a while, and they decided that they really needed to move me out of the classroom so I didn't hurt the kids too badly, and they made a principal out of me. So the first place I had a principalship had some cliffs, had a cave. The cave had a natural pool of water inside, and I've always thought there's a story about that somewhere, and it took me 41 years to finally retire from my career, but I never forgot about that particular location, and that became the basis for my first book, which was a romance mystery called Whistler's Gold. And I have a copy of it here. Looks like this.
Nice.
And that was published in 2005. And
after you retired?
After I retired in 2004. I shouldn't say this, I suppose, but I actually worked a little bit on it before I retired. But I didn't let anybody know what I was doing.
Really?
So when I retired, I jumped into it with both legs, and the result was a story about a Navajo a girl, or a Navajo boy and an Anglo girl, and a mystery centered around the Museum of New Mexico and some stolen artifacts, and how they solved the mystery and fell in love and lived happily ever after.
That's wonderful. And then that momentum got you interested into your new project with these books, short stories.
Yeah. I actually started another book about a hermit in the mountains of northern Utah, southern Wyoming. And as I was working on that, I kept stumbling across real interesting little tidbits about people. I started collecting them. And then I became more interested in those tidbits than I did with my hermit up in the mountains. And I just started collecting tidbits. I spent a lot of time doing it, a couple of years, I guess. Don't remember real well. I kept a running list of them on an Excel spreadsheet, and I ended up with 723 people who I thought had good stories about themselves, you know, pieces of interest. And I turned 366 of those 700 into the three volumes. That one is volume 3 of History's Must Been. It was volume 2 and the volume 1. And later from Asa Zamboni, which I had so many stories left over, I thought, oh, I'll do another book. But I couldn't quite make it a fourth volume because everything was, that was kind of a package. So those are more dustbin stories, but another 101 dustbin stories, but just packaged in a different cover, different book.
So these 732 tidbits of information that you've been collecting became three books or three and a half books, correct?
Well, yeah, four books actually, because each of the dustbin books has 122 stories in each one, and the Ace of Zamboni has 101. So there's 367 stories, or 467 stories in the four books. The history, Stories from History's Dustbin, I sent all three volumes in to the Arizona Authors Association competition in 2016, the year after they were published. Published in 2015, and I ended up winning the top prize. That was named the Arizona Book of the Year for 2016. Books, I guess you'd say, because there's three of them.
Right.
And
congratulations! That's amazing.
A real motivational thing and a very stimulating thing for me, because I think the last time I won something was Best Improved Boulder back when I was in college. I don't know.
It's a long time coming, but still, this is an amazing award and such a huge volume of work and research that you've done. And it's and for me, when your son William told me about your story, I was like, what? I need to meet him and I need to interview him, because this is a tremendous amount of work and it really inspires us that want to write to start writing. I think for people that have things in their heads that want to put it onto paper, we have a hard time continuing it.
Yeah, maybe it's a good thing to note also that this didn't start out, the Stories from History's Dustbin didn't start out as three volumes. I mean, that's a big chunk. I spent four years from the time that I started collecting these things until I published in 2015. So it started out as, I thought, well, I just put a little booklet together about some of these interesting things that I learned. And then that became a book. And then it became another book because there's so many. And I was just rolling in this thing. And it kind of consumed me, I guess. Before I knew it, I had 300 and something. I thought, well, I think somebody suggested to me, why don't you make your books a story a day and base it on something? Cool. So that's what the original three volumes, because what you're holding up there is the second edition.
Oh, yes, it is.
Second edition. The first edition, so true. What you have now in the second volume is a revised and improved. It has a table of contents is alphabetical. Volume 1 is A through F. Volume 2 is F through N, I believe, and volume 3 is N through Z. And I also, in the meantime, I had written from Ace to Zamboni and included footnotes in that book. Mm-hmm. And people like the footnotes. And so this new second edition of Stories from History's Lesbian also has footnotes, commentary, author's notes, whatever, at the end of the stories where they're appropriate. And they reference, there's a cross-referencing between all four of the books now, and all four of the books is cross-referencing between all four of the books.
I love it. It's just so wonderful. Thank you for sending me your books too. And when I started reading them, it's nice because I'm not a great reader. And these short stories are just a perfect amount of story and information. And what I've done is, because we all spend a lot of time now at home, I've implemented a story a day with my family. So what we do is we pick one and then we read it out loud. And we just started yesterday, which is nice. But what I did was, I hope it's okay, but I did my doggy ear so I know what's going on. Oh, which ones?
Books need to become personalized. When I'm reading somebody else's book, I'm often underlining, circling. If I find a misspelled word, I'll circle it and draw a line out to the side. And they're my books. They're my books written by somebody else. Yourself.
But one of them was Jesse Owens, and I didn't realize that Jesse Owens was kind of a mistake in school, as you say, that his real name was James Cleveland, but Jess J.C.
Yeah, his parents called him J.C., but he pronounced it Jesse, something like that, I guess. And his teacher said, "What's your name again?" J.C. Owens. J.C. Owens. So she wrote down Jesse and he became Jesse Owens.
A question with writing or getting something done is, what are your top tips for people that are considering to publish their own work?
Well, one of the surprising things before somebody writes a book is thinking about, it's going to be a lot harder to write than it's going to be to sell. So you've got to be able to have the wherewithal to stick with the project. You never know when something's going to catch fire and really sell well. There's a Bridges of gosh, I forget the name of the book now. But some guy wrote a book, put it in some convenience stores in Colorado. And the guy that came by, one of the guys that came by and just bought a candy bar in that store, picked up a copy of the book, and he was a movie writer. And he turned the book into a movie. So, I just think of the name of the movie is The Bridges. I can't.
Bridges of Madison County?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
The Bridges of Madison County. You're good. Anyway, that's how where that story came from. So you never know what's going to catch fire. And he had a hard time selling it to anybody, you know, his friends or anything, I guess. And he got a couple of convenience stores to allow to put it in there. And the right guy came along at the right time. That's the story about that.
I love that.
Writing to me is a very enjoyable way to pass my time. And I think if you're going to write, you've got to have the time to sit and think and work things out in your head and put it on paper and be willing to scrap that piece of paper and start over again or change sentences. And that's one of the wonderful things about the computer. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to write War and Peace without a computer or something like that?
Right. A lot of whiteout.
Oh, terrible amount of whiteout. Buckets of whiteout.
Wayne, how old are you? Can I ask?
Yes, I'm 82.
82.
Yeah, I've been around a long time. Born in 1938.
Wow. And that's amazing just because, you know, you had this huge life and then you wanted to write and publish and you did. And to me, it means it's never too late to start something.
No, ever. It's not.
Yeah.
It's all part of that goal setting thing and then sticking with it. If things don't work out, revise your goals. Don't make them quite so lofty. If you have a goal that, gosh, upon retirement, I'm going to take my wife to Ireland and we're going to, you know, visit the Emerald Isle. And then the coronavirus comes along and it starts wiping out your savings. That goal no longer becomes viable. You're going to have to set a goal that is, what would you say, both realistic and
Attainable.
Attainable, right. Mm-hmm. And realistic. So if you become discouraged because you're not able to achieve a goal that you set for yourself sometime, set another goal. Mm-hmm. Look at what it is that you can do. And if you have a significant other, things that you can do together and work it out. If you don't have a goal when you retire, I just can't imagine that situation. But I've got friends who are just bored to death, you know? They just sit and watch TV all day long, whatever. You need to have something that you can do, something that you can do with your significant other, if you have a significant other, that you enjoy doing. And writing, for me, I live by myself, but writing is something that I've always enjoyed. I've always had fun with words, and it was very satisfying to receive that award in 2016. So having some nice things happen along the way that give you a little bit of additional push and motivation is a good thing. But those aren't going to come if I'd never started working on the dustbin books, which was going to be a pamphlet at first, because I was writing another story about a hermit. And I was like, right. Oh, I'll just do a little pamphlet, and it got more than that, and it got more than that, and it became those three volumes. It was a four-year project, all told.
Four-year project? Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
So
it's very impressive, Wayne. I'm just very impressed. And that's why I was so excited to get these books, because it's just a lot of information and they're good stories and good to share with people, especially the Zamboni one, because my daughter plays hockey. So I'm going to make her read that one.
Yeah, the Zamboni story. Well, just, you know, have you read it yet or not?
Yes.
Okay, so you know the secret, the little piece in, you know, the story, but who would have believed that the guy that invented the Zamboni that shaves the ice, you ask, you know, somebody, where would that person have come from? It would have been from Canada or from someplace to do it. He was born and raised in Utah, a state in which ice hockey is probably not even considered a minor sport. I mean, so that's kind of the kicker of that one.
Yes. Well, Wayne, thank you so much. I'm so honored to have you on the podcast, and the amount of work and dedication that you had is just so commendable. And I think our listeners are going to be inspired by your work and consistency and your drive to make these three volumes of stories.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And are any of your grandkids, you do have grandkids, but are any of your grandkids or children writers at all? Because
I have four children. My kids are scattered around. My oldest is in Tennessee. My number two is in North Carolina. I have a child here in just about a mile from me. And she does a lot of my checking and editing of those stories and the dustbin stories, and she wants to do something herself now. She's kind of caught the spirit. She's still working. She works as a teacher coach in the Peoria school system.
Fabulous.
And by the way, if you open up the stories from History's Dustbin to about Roman numeral 6 or something, right in the very beginning. You'll see that I didn't do this by myself. I should mention that.
Oh, right. I did read that. Your daughter did it the whole time, helped you, huh?
Yeah, but on page 6, yeah, she did. She did. She was a great help. You'll see I've acknowledged those who assisted in turning the dustbin project into a reality. There's almost 100 names there. And those are people who contributed stories. A former coworker of mine, when he knew I was working on the project, said, "Hey, I got a story for you." And I said, "What is it, Glenn?" He says, "Do you know about Pete Gray?" I said, "No, who's Pete Gray?" And he says, "He's the only Major League Baseball player to play the game who had only one arm." a one-armed baseball player, and he played back in the 1940s. He lost his arm when he was a child. He jumped off the back of a truck and got his one arm caught in the spokes of the, you know, an old 1920s type truck.
Mm-hmm.
He had to have his arm amputated. His goal in life was to become a major league ball player, and he did. And after World War II was over, he toured around the hospitals where men had lost their arms during the war and were injured, and became an inspiration to those people. And a movie was made starring a lady by the name of Mayor Winningham, something
uh-huh.
like that.
Uh-huh.
And I forget the male lead who would have played Pete Gray. But all those things came out of the story of this little boy that could have just gone, could have done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But he worked and worked and worked and worked until he could play baseball at the major league level, and he did.
Right.
So that's another inspiration story. But these people, those 100 people on that page six, some of them contributed stories. Some of them, I sent groups of stories out to people, groups of 20 stories a piece, and told them, if you'll edit these and see what you think about them, comment on them, I'll stick your name in the front of the book. I had a lot of people who were willing to do that. But all kinds of people. We've got doctors and dentists.
Fabulous.
Physicists and so on.
That's wonderful. I'm glad that their names are in your book.
Yeah, well,
it helped you.
There. You know, and it was a long time. Those 4 years took a long time. But every time I met people that knew me and knew what I was working on, they wanted to know, how you coming? When are you going to get it done? I want a copy.
So you got a lot of encouragement from your family and friends.
Yes, I certainly do. And I have my fourth child is my son that you've met. And
yes. His son.
I also have seven grandkids and two great-grandkids. And one of those great-grandkids is starting college. I have a great-grandchild who starts college next year. This
wow.
So...
That's amazing. I love that. I love the lineage and the vast length of your family. That's amazing.
They're all good folks. We get along great.
Well, if you are okay with this, I'm going to put your podcast and the links to your books in the notes of the podcast to make sure that people sign up and read these amazing stories. And they're just so interesting. That's why I love them so much. And
I would be delighted to have you do that. It's
yes.
It's certainly not a problem for me.
Yes. And Wayne, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and inspiring our listeners here that it's never too late to have a great goal in life, and you get support from your family and friends, and you're keeping consistent with your goal, and you roll with the punches, correct?
Correct. And I appreciate that. And I welcome anyone to try out, you know, read a couple stories. You'll get hooked. They are fun to read. They're short.
Absolutely.
Don't take time. Great for doctor's offices. You know, things like that, to sit and just have something to do.
Wonderful. Thank you, Wayne, for coming. And be sure to check out on the links at the end of the show. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Simona.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Couch to Fire. I hope this podcast sparked something in you to take action to live your best life. If you're interested in joining me in this podcast and have something inspiring to share, please contact me. Couch to Fire. Live your best life.